and to Washington, D.C., and Jerry Boatlander. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. How are you this Friday?
We are doing real well here, and we're getting ready for a big parade down Main Street at 10 o'clock and the Northwest Montana Fair next weekend. So it's a big event here in Northwest Montana.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah. And I would imagine you're having fun trying to keep up with all that's going on in D.C. today.
Boy, first of all, whatever happened to the summer doldrums? It used to be that, you know, once Congress was gone, we literally had no news in D.C. for the month of August. You know, whoever was president would go away for 3-4 weeks at a time, whether it was Reagan to Santa Barbara, Carter to Georgia, you know, Clinton up to Martha's Vineyard. But boy, we don't have that now. Certainly the president yesterday got everybody's interest when he said, well, we need a new census. As we all know, the census is usually done every 10 years. And so the next one's not until 2030. But he also says that the census would not count people who were in the country illegally. And as you might know, that the Constitution, the 14th Amendment, specifically says the census counts everybody. You don't have to be a citizen to be counted. And so right there, the president would seem to be going against what, you know, would be the law of the land. And it comes as, you know, he's pushing Republican-led states, most specifically Texas, but also Indiana and Florida, to come up with new congressional maps to be more favorable to GOP House candidates before next year's midterms. Of course, the party in power often loses seats in the midterm election, and with the House GOP holding on to a very, very thin margin in the House, the president's looking to do whatever he can, really, to try to make sure that the GOP remains the majority party both in the House and the Senate. So, you know, this call for a census is interesting because he tried it during his first term to exclude undocumented immigrants and other non-citizens, and the federal courts rejected that effort.
So now with the redistricting that's happening in Texas and being threatened in several other states, we could see something really weird when it came to the way that the districts are set up.
You know, it can be very, very strange. I was reading this morning that one of the districts that's been drawn up in Texas would include parts of Austin, which is sort of toward the eastern part of the state, and go all the way to the western border, 300 miles away. Wow. It's just nutty. But yeah, I mean, the you know, this whole effort is you know, in effect, an uncharted territory, because for the most part, everybody's accepted the census every 10 years, and then the lines are redrawn. And certainly, you know, there have been instances where lines have been redrawn in, you know, so, shall we say, non-census years. North Carolina did it, and 2 years ago changed the 7-7 balance of congressional, you know, House Democrats to House Republicans in their state to a 10-4 GOP advantage. And, you know, basically that's what Trump wants in Texas and other states. So we just sort of have to see how it plays out. You've got the vice president who was pushing Indiana officials to take that step. But, you know, we haven't seen them really espouse that move in the Hoosier state. And certainly Mitch Daniels, the former governor, has raised some concerns about it. And, of course, the Democrats, in addition to, you know, Texas Democrats leaving the state to prevent the Republicans from having a quorum and from having this newly drawn congressional district lines being voted on, you've got efforts in a bunch of other states to try to counter this. California is trying to do it. New York is trying to do it. Maryland tried to rejigger the congressional lines a couple of years ago, and that was struck down. So the Democrats tried to get rid of the one remaining Republican in the Maryland congressional delegation, but basically, you know, that was rejected by the court. So there are going to be a whole bunch of moving parts here in a month where we normally just don't see a lot of news.
One of the things that everybody's counting on these days that we haven't counted on before was that if you are a Democrat, you're expected to vote with the Democrats. If you're a Republican, you're expected to vote with the Republicans. And in past years, we've had a lot of cross-voting. And that seems to have gone away now.
Yeah, and you know, everybody's digging in their heels. You know, regardless of what the issue is, you rarely see someone from the Democratic side vote for a Republican issue and vice versa. And quite frankly, you know, you have issues where if these new congressional lines end up being drawn in all these different states, that's going to wipe out a lot of moderates. It's going to wipe out Republicans who have grabbed a couple of seats in mostly Democratic states and Democrats who have a couple of seats in mostly Republican states. It's just going to harden the lines, the partisan lines, and it's just going to end up being, you know, an even more divided government if that's possible.
Well, states have different ways of determining their districts. For example, here in Montana, a special nonpartisan commission makes those determinations. And we did that when we picked up that second seat here 2 years ago. And it was really interesting to see who was, we'd be fighting over who gets which county. And then you've got Texas, where it's done in a highly partisan manner in their legislature. And California, I think, the same way.
Yeah, you know, California, you know, you've Gavin Newsom, you know, is trying everything possible to sidestep this independent commission that exists in California. And that's part of the problem for Democrats as they try to push back against this Republican move in a variety of Republican-led states. You know, the biggest blue states are going to have trouble redrawing their maps because they've given the redistricting power to independent commissions, all in the name of good government. And so they really have a tough time pushing back against what basically is a power play by Republicans as they try to hold on to both the House and, you know, in some cases, Senate for the next couple of years of this Trump administration. And so, yeah, you know, in Republican, like, for instance, Iowa, there's not going to be any effort because all four Iowa seats are held by Republicans. They're just not going to redraw the lines there. It's just not going to happen. Same in Montana. You know, it's all Republicans. But in states where Republicans think that they can pick up a seat or two, or in the case of Texas, five, you know, they're gonna try to do it. And, you know, Republicans are looking at Texas for five, I think three in Florida. They're looking at Missouri. And as I mentioned, Indiana, they're also going to try and, you know, pick up some seats in Ohio, which has turned increasingly Republican over the years after being a swing state for so many years. And, you know, Democrats are trying to push back against this. I mean, obviously, California would be a big one. They might gain five there to offset Texas, but then they really don't have that many other states where they can pick up big numbers. And so, you know, it's going to be interesting because, as we all know, you know, these are going to be challenged in the courts, and it's going to come back to, can you redraw the lines with, you know, with the president wanting a new count and a new count not including people who were in the country illegally, when the Constitution says you got to count everybody regardless of who they are.
It's interesting the way that all came about. Post-Civil War is when all of that came about, and we had a massive population of slaves that, you know, that all of a sudden became citizens, and then deciding, well, you know, since they don't own property and since they don't pay taxes, why should they vote? Well, when they became citizens, they started paying taxes. And so this has been brewing off and on now ever since the end of the Civil War.
And you know, quite frankly, that's the argument that many of the people who are being targeted for removal by this administration make, that, you know, they've been here for years and years and years, and we've all heard the stories about, you know, communities in Republican areas where, you know, the woman who runs the diner has suddenly been taken up by ICE. These are people who pay taxes. You know, people may be here illegally, but they pay taxes. And so, you know, their input to the economy is substantial in a lot of different areas. And so, you know, the whole recount and taking a census and not counting people, you know, who are here illegally, it's difficult enough for the Commerce Department to conduct a census normally. There are people who are very, very hard to find. I mean, you know, you get these mailings that ask you to fill out a form, and certainly it's not done on the spur of the moment. It takes time to organize. It takes time to draw up the forms that are sent out. They have to figure out, you know, if a house has been demolished and one hasn't been built in its place, you know, where did those people go? You know, stuff gets sent out and then returned. Counting, you know, 300 million Americans is not something that you just do overnight. It takes planning. And to just sort of say, oh, we're going to have a census, you know, that just opens the doors for problems. No matter whose side of the political fence you're on, you just can't say, oh, we're going to count everybody next Thursday.
Jerry, you live in or near Washington, D.C. You have worked in Washington, D.C. for decades. What do you think about more federal oversight into law enforcement there?
You know, it's so interesting because the president has long made clear he is not a fan of D.C. And you can, you know, argue that there's crime in D.C. Is there crime in D.C.? Absolutely. But D.C., you know, today is nothing like what D.C. was 20 years ago or 30 years ago. It is so much safer, especially in and around the Capitol. It's a much safer area. But, you know, there are issues. And certainly the fact that you have someone who's part of the Trump administration, who was part of DOGE, you know, being carjacked, you know, raised the issue once again. And, you know, the president raising the possibility that, you know, he's going to bring the District of Columbia under federal rule. And, you know, as of 11 o'clock local time last night, there apparently were more federal officers out on the streets of D.C., but it wasn't, you know, a huge show of force. You know, there were a couple of extra cars by the train station here. The point is to make it safer for tourists. You know, it wasn't anything overwhelming just now. But certainly, you know, the administration has made clear that there is crime in D.C., and the president thinks that the capital city of the U.S. should do better. What's interesting is that while a lot of folks have reacted to his comment about, you know, federalizing the district, the mayor has really kept a low profile. She hasn't said, as far as I know, anything about the comment yesterday that you know, there's going to be an increased presence of federal law enforcement to combat crime. And, you know, it'll be interesting to see how she plays it, because certainly, you know, she's put in a tough position. She's got to be, you know, I don't want to say nice, but she's got to deal with the president in some way, shape, or form. He does, you know, live right in the center of town. And so you can't avoid that. And so it's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out. This, you know, this week-long effort with a possible extension, you know, could just be a way of, I don't want to say waving the flag, but just sort of saying, look, if we want to do it, we can do it. Here's a little taste of what it might be. And, you know, in a week and a half, they might, as they did the National Guard in L.A., pull back and things will be semi back to normal.
Jerry, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for drilling down for us this morning.
It's great to be with you. Have a wonderful weekend.